you know, and I'm just really sharing that to say, guys, God loves it when we just come into his presence for him and nothing else. You see, modern day Christianity has made it all about every other thing that we can get out of his hand, but we are missing out on so much of what is in his heart. You see, scripture says that the burdens of the Lord are shared with those who fear him. You see, God has certain burdens and certain secrets on his heart that he will never entrust to people who play hide and seek with him. It means on Tuesday morning, you're there for 15 minutes. By the time God sees you again, 3 months have gone by. He's constantly seeking a people, a man and a woman, who can come and say, Lord, I don't want to go. I just want to be here. If you want to hold me captive for the next 48 hours, we are here because my agenda, my point, my purpose in this earth is completely irrelevant. Lord, what do you want? How many of us actually come into the presence of God asking him, God, I want to pray to you, but what do you want to pray over me? What is it exactly that you want to say? You see, there is a way in which God wants to make himself known. There is a way in which God wants to reveal himself. There is a way in which God wants to take you into the chambers of his heart so that you can be intimate with him, have full communion with him, and from that place, everything that makes God God can start finding expression in the earth through you. Okay, I'm gonna chill now. I'm getting a bit too excited. Last week I started a sermon series on entering the mystery of knowing God. And we shared a bit on the topic of our discourse, the subject of our study was Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And John chapter 4 verse 22, Jesus tells this woman and says, you Samaritans worship what you do not know. As Jews, we worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. And I quickly emphasize and say, the knowing that Jesus is speaking about, Jesus was speaking to a woman who was very well acquainted with the God that Moses experienced and yet had never experienced him herself. So Jesus was not necessarily addressing her, the God that she knew through her mental faculties. Jesus was addressing the religion that she had built around a God that she had never experienced. And I began to share with some of us here in the room and said, it is possible that you grew up in church and never grew in Christ. It's possible that you grew up going to the Enchia Kirk and yet you have never experienced the God of the Bible. It's possible that you know how to speak in tongues, to know the mannerism of the church. It's possible to know how to quote John 3:16, and yet this Jesus had never become a reality in your heart, but rather a tradition, a culture, and a religion. I mentioned as well that the knowing that Jesus is speaking about, he says, you Samaritans worship what you do not know. Once again, it is not a knowing that is limited to your mental faculties or your intellectual abilities. Jesus is speaking of an intimate knowing where the spirit of man and the spirit of God collide, and the realities of who God is are imprinted upon your heart. And suddenly, the reality from which you operate is no longer earthly. You are taken up into the heavenly places where God becomes as real as the person sitting next to you. It is a knowing where God, there is a spiritual intercourse between God and man, where God begins to leave the blueprint of who he is on your psyche, falling down into your spirit, and suddenly you see people where the way they respond to God, it's pretty much not even logic, because they've ascended into a new spiritual reality that dictates the way they live. That is the knowing that we're speaking about. Jesus was addressing not only this Samaritan woman, but the culture of the Samaritans who had decided to attach themselves to a God who was real and yet had never experienced him by themselves. So yesterday, last Sunday, I left most of you with a challenge and say, you know God, but do you really know him? In your mind, you grew up hearing about God and the charismatic movement and every church denomination that exists, But it is just possible that many of us sitting in the room have never actually come in contact with who this God is. We may have felt some goosebumps in worship. We may have experienced some chills when a song played. We may have heard a sermon that captured the essence of our very being. We may have gone from church to church and experienced wonderful things. And yet, it's possible that many of you have sat in church but have never sat in Christ and never really walked with Him. So that is where we left our introduction last Sunday. By the way, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Samuel Kitenge, and I'm going to be sharing the words today. I realized that I should have started there. And today we're just going to continue onto the same topic of entering the mystery of knowing God. I'm not going to pray for the word because God is already here and already speaking to us. Amen. And the subtopic that I'm going to speak about, please give me the next slide, it's living a life that is consumed by communion. How do we actually begin to enter into that divine knowledge where God begins slowly, step by step, revealing Himself to us and also impacting the very essence of our being so that His very being can find expression through us in the earth? How do we get there? That is the key. Living a life that is consumed with or by communion. I'm not quite sure what's the difference there, but you understand what I mean. Let's quickly turn to scripture. We are in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verse 15, hopefully till verse 23. If you have your Bible, I would highly suggest that you read from your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we can always give you one, but you are also more than welcome to read from the screen. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15. If you are there, say, I'm there. If you're not there, say, wait for me. Hallelujah. You're the only one we're waiting for now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 1. May I read? For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You might want to highlight that in your Bible. It says, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It continues, why? So that you may know Him better. I pray that, guys, I get excited when Apostle Paul prays like this. My love language here. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age but also in the one to come. 22. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be the head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. You gotta love the way Apostle Paul writes his phrases and his prayers. He is not trying to be fancy with his words, but rather he's trying to achieve a purpose within everybody's heart that will be reading this. And then he begins to say, I thank God that you've been saved for real. You have come into the body, into the family of Christ. Now you belong to Him. But then he says, that is not all there is to it. There is actually, so much more that you could experience. Come on, I'm getting excited here. Apostle Paul is saying that you having your sins forgiven It's only like 0.9% of it. There's like so much more you could enjoy in this experience of being called a Christian. There is so much riches and spiritual wealth that God has made available to you. But how do you actually access it? He says that the glorious Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You see, there is a way in which one enters into divine consciousness and begin to tap into the economy of God's thoughts, where God begins to reveal himself so tangibly, that is only possible by the means of intimacy with the Holy Spirit. If we are going to be a people that knows God, if we are going to be a people that remain rooted, grounded, and completely unshaken in who they have come to believe, there is a way in which we have to start living a life that is consumed with communion with the Holy Spirit. You see, the devil has done it so beautifully that if our lives are not consumed by God, they are consumed by something else. If it is not God, it is your job. If it's not God, it's your family. If it's not God, it's your children. If it's not God, it's Netflix. If it's not God, it's TikTok or social media. Either way, your life is consumed by something. And whatever consumes our lives dictates where we put our trust. Whatever consumes our lives dictates our perspective of and our response to life. But you see, God has sent me to encourage us this morning and say, your salvation is guaranteed. God has no problem with you being saved. You are already saved. In fact, your seat in heaven, done, sorted. But you see, eternal life, we read last week as well in the book of John, Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you as the one and only true living God and Jesus whom you have sent. Eternal life does not begin when Jesus comes back and we step into heaven. God's heart is that eternal life should be here today. If the purpose of our salvation is heaven, then the day you gave your life to Jesus, God should have just killed you right there and then, and you made it into heaven. But the reason why God actually saves us is so that wealth of eternal life can be deposited in us and find expression through us by the means of the Holy Spirit here on earth, so that we can become ambassadors of Christ, representing the kingdom that has sent us. Then Apostle Paul, then he says, the only way you get to tap into that reality is by the spirit of revelation and wisdom. But you see, there are dimensions with the Holy Spirit that we will never begin to tap into if we don't live a life that is consumed by communion with Him. Do you know that it's actually possible to begin to live into a dimension of friendship with the Holy Spirit that is as real as my friendship with Bradley? There is a way in which you can tap into communion with the Holy Spirit that is as real as the chair that you are sitting on. It moves from being a spiritual reality, but becomes a divine reality that is so tangible. And the Holy Spirit begins to unpack the things of God unto you. I shared this last Sunday. Many people have read this Bible from Genesis to Revelation only to end up being atheists. You know what the problem is? They never tapped into the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Because without that spirit of wisdom and revelation, that book that you read is just another book. And Apostle Paul says, when you begin to tap into that spirit of wisdom and revelation, you begin to know him better, and the eyes of your heart are enlightened, and you begin to see the hope to which he has called you. You see, God begins revealing himself by ordering your steps by the Holy Spirit, and you begin to go where he wants you, doing what he wants you to do, connecting with who he wants you to connect with. I shared a bit of this testimony last Sunday. I said, I was in Joburg for quite a long time, and I began suddenly to have these visions where God said, God will show me, I would jump on the bus, And the conductor would say, you need to get on, we're going to Cape Town. I had been in Cape Town at least once. But for me, I was just like, why would I go to Cape Town? To do what exactly? And it became quite a reoccurring dream and vision. God was just like, you need to step and go to Cape Town. COVID, packed my stuff, came to Cape Town, stepped into Shofar Durbanville. For the first time in my life, I was reminded that I'm black. Because I stepped into that room, I had never seen that many white people. I'm like, hey, Lord, which one is this one now? And I'm like, did I shower? Because... And then I stepped in there, and suddenly God reminds me of the vision. He said, the bus, you are here. This is the environment I created for you to be in this specific season of your life. Moving forward to the beginning of last year, there was a bit of a tension between me and my calling, not stepping into where I want to be, struggling with me, not walking in my purpose. I'm like, God, you've given me so many promises. I don't understand what you're doing here. In the place of intimacy, at the beginning of the year, God gave me a word. To this day, I'm like, that is the less spiritual word I've heard from God. Like, yo, God gives me a word and he says, it was actually funny, and we were praying, and God gives me like a vision. He's like, Sam, look at Bradley. I'm like, yeah, I live with him. And God was just like, all I want you to do this year, wherever he goes, you go. Guys, you have to know, Brad is like one of the guys that annoys me the most because I love him the most. He's like, God was just like, wherever Bradley goes, you go. You're not standing behind him. You're not standing in front of him. You're standing next to him and you are walking with him wherever he's going. And that might sound very random to some of you, but those steps of obedience in the Holy Spirit began to reveal the hope to which God has called me. If I'm standing here today preaching to you and walking in my purpose and people be like, Sam, you're doing so much for the church. Why are you not burnt out? I'm like, why would I be burnt out? I am walking in the hope for which I've been called. This is what God positioned me to do. In fact, me deciding to journey with Bradley, it's not even about him. It's not because he's a great guy, but it's not about that. You know, God was just like, There is a portion of the hope to which I've called you that is tied to the man, and you can begin to walk in your purpose. In the same way, there was a point at which when I met Richard for the first time, God printed it on my heart. He said, you're going to walk a journey of discipleship with that man. And he can testify that we've seen together how slowly, slowly God has started to point him to the hope to which he's been called. But you see, the key to that hope, it's not the hope itself, it is God. Amen. It's that God begins to reveal to you different facets of his personality. God begins to reveal to you different aspects of his heart, his holiness, his likes, his dislikes. But all of that is tailor-made to make sense to you. And when you begin to unpack scripture, scripture begins to make sense to you because suddenly you have tapped into the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That is how people walk with God, is that as you go on to this journey, then one day you meet your wife. Amen. One day you go, you meet your dream job. Great. One day you go, you have your children. God will tell you that we are going to Durbanville. That's the destination. But for now, we need to go to Kells River first. It doesn't make sense, but it's by tapping into that spirit of wisdom and revelation that the hope to which you have been called begins to make sense to you. So I'm going to encourage you. If you are really going, if God is going to stop being the God of the Bible, the God of South Africa, the God of your father and your mother, if he's going to be your God, you got to make it your mission to live a life that is consumed by communion. Like KK said, like Tumi said, you may not understand. You might not even feel it. But you know what? You're going to confess. And say, Holy Spirit, I am here. What are we doing here today? Oh, I love it how King David understood this so very well in the book of Psalm 27, verse 4. He says, one thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. King David was not speaking about coming to Shofar Boston and make your dwelling here. King David was speaking about walking with God in uninterrupted fellowship and communion. It is God on your mind every day, all day, 24/7, January to December. Because you see, guys, in this kingdom, brothers and sisters, it is possible for you to be one day in the flesh and the next day in the spirit. One day speaking in tongues and the next day you are completely in the flesh as if you were not in the spirit the day before. But the only way we get to hold on and keep walking the journey so victoriously and powerfully is if we begin to make it a point to walk a journey of you pretty much have to learn to be intentional in your walk with God. God is not a cheap commodity. He is the real deal, and he's worth pursuing. He's worth laying your life down. In my pursuit of the Lord, I quickly began to see how certain things will just fall off in my life. Certain desires and ambitions that I had before, suddenly my priorities have changed. You begin to fall so much into alignment with the heart of God that your priorities are God's priorities. That is why he said, delight yourself in the Lord and I will give you the desires of your heart. But the key is not in the desires, the key is in the delighting. Because when you begin to delight, God takes all your selfish desires and replaces them with his desires. So when God gives you the desires of your heart, in fact, he's giving you his desires, not yours. So do we want to become a people that know who their God is? Do we want to become a people? I shared Daniel 11:32 last week. He says, those of the people who will know their God will do well and perform great exploits. It's not success in the movie industry. It's not success in becoming an occupational therapist. Looking at Caroline. It's not success at becoming an accountant. It is pretty much you rising in the full extent of the purpose that God has for you and walking unapologetically into it. Because it is not about you. It is all about God finding expression in this earth through you. But all of that is not possible until we have tapped into the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The other scripture that I love, we sang it, Psalm 47, verse 1 to 2, it says, as the deer pants for the waters, so my soul longeth after thee. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? There is a level in which we got to be intentional in coming in God's presence. You know what time you're going to start, but you have no idea what time you are going to finish. Because at this point, you just really want the whole of God, all of his heart. And I know life gets busy. And I know we got them babies running around and waking up 15 times at night. And I know we got jobs. And I know some of us have full-time jobs and full-time in ministry. And I know we've got wives. And I know we have all these things going on. But you see, the thing about God, if we don't have time for him, we gotta have to learn to make time for him, even to inconvenience ourselves. Because until we have learned to tap into there, the realities of the world around us will overwhelm us to a point of depression and anxiety. It's gonna require that when the baby cries, when the baby gets up at 2 a.m. in the morning, while you are dealing with the baby, you are walking in your house, speaking in tongues, and having communion with God. It's going to require that while you're having your lunch break, instead of you going and sit with your colleagues, you go in the bathroom. It doesn't smell great, but the fragrance of his aroma fills the room because you are having a time of communion with him. It's going to require that we there are dimensions of who God is that will only be made available to some of you in the room when you learn to become disciplined in your pursuit of him. There are revelations that God will not entrust to some of you in the room simply because God, it's not because God doesn't love you. It's like, I don't trust you. You keep playing hide and seek with me. You keep coming for 10 minutes and then you go for 6 months and then come back again for 10 minutes. My love is available to you, but my heart will never be revealed. We're going to always be in the dimensions where we come to church. The only revelation that we have of God is how we feel what he is saying. It's always going to be Devonisha. This is what I feel for you on my heart, God is saying. But all of that will always end up being information that do not bear any transformation in people's lives. So if we're going to be the kind of church that God seeks to have him represented in the earth, you see, we gotta learn to become the kind of believers that takes God, hold on to him, and say, God, the only way I'm letting go, you kill me now. It's until death do us part. I'm going to hold on to this thing and go and run my race with endurance and perseverance, because this generation, Ephesians 8 verse 19, it says, for creation awaits eagerly for the revelation of the sons of God. But you see, growing into that revelation requires that we become a people that are consumed with the Holy Spirit in and out. When people come to you, They may be speaking to Adam, but when they draw closer, they find a burning bush. If we are going to become the kind of people that know their God, we have to be intentional about not absconding the school of intimacy with the Lord. There are things that God will only teach you at 11 p.m. at night. When it's just the two of you. If the only place you get to encounter and grow into the revelation of God is at church, it is great. We encourage you. But you will continually be a superficial Christian that God can never do business with. The reason why I shared last week, the great Dr. Myers Munro used to say, when the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. The reason why we're not pursuing intimacy and the life of communion with God, it's really because we have not understood why we should have communion and intimacy with him. When God created the earth, what did he do? He created animals and gave them the forest. He created birds and gave them the sky. He created fish and gave them the sea. But then he creates man and plants him into Eden. You see, Eden was not necessarily a physical place. It was an atmosphere of God's presence that Adam was always supposed to operate from. Outside of that atmosphere, he could never be all things that God purposed for him to be. So God placed him into Eden, and then God made it a point to start coming and giving him lectures every evening and have intimacy with him. Why Adam was able to name all the animals on the earth, it's not because he was smart, but it's because he had tapped into the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why was he able to oversee the garden? It's not because Adam was smart, it's because he knew how to tap into that spirit of wisdom and revelation. Every time he came in the evening, God was there. Until one day God showed up, Adam was not there, and from that time on, we are all suffering the consequences. The reason why we want to live a life that is consumed with intimacy is because we will only tap into the fullness of divine potential for our lives if we learn how to operate from that perspective and that divine reality. What Jesus is saying when he says, this is eternal life that they may know you, is also saying, this is not eternal life if they don't know you. What Daniel is saying in Daniel 11:32, he says, those of the people who will not know their God, they will live miserably. People will tell me, some, you may have tried prayer and then your depression got away, it worked for you, but I still need to go through my own things. And so I'm like, yes, take medication, but trust you me. Begin to be intentional about your pursuit of Jesus. I promise you, what happens when you begin to have communion and intimacy with God is that it's not a 180 turn. It's that slowly by slowly, God begins to leave the blueprint of his character on you. So in the place of prayer, there is a divine exchange that takes place. Your flesh dies and the fire of the Holy Spirit is imparted. So now as you keep coming every day, slowly you keep coming, slowly you keep showing up. Every day for 15 minutes you are there. I trust you me. In 6 months, you will look back and not recognize the person that you have become. Because why? When your life is consumed with communion with the spirit of wisdom and revelation, there is a divine exchange that begins to take place. Suddenly you are struggling with a certain addiction and you don't have the desires anymore. The spiritual life and intimacy, it's like training a muscle to become more aware of the doings of God and the spiritual realities. Is that every time you come, 10 minutes, before you know it, it's 15 minutes, is that you train your spiritual appetite to enjoy God. And in that place where you enjoy God, the flesh can no longer enjoy its desires, because the reality of the matter is, in this physical and the spiritual world, whatever you feed grows, whatever you starve dies. So if it's the flesh that you are feeding the most, the flesh will grow. You wonder why you're still struggling with lust and certain things. It's not that God is not willing to set you free. He's very much willing. His victory has already been made available in Christ. But God wants you to keep coming so that as you have spiritual intercourse with Him, He can reinforce the victory of the cross upon your life. Because when that victory is birthed in your spirit, you rise into a new reality that is far above principal powers and authorities, and you can speak to your flesh and say, if you want to sleep with her, you go do it. Me, I'm going to worship. Those dimensions are possible. Whew. Amen. You guys are so quiet. I'm like, yo, I may not be preaching well this morning, but... 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 5. Jasmine, if you can find it on the screen there. Ooh. Okay, that's the one. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, that we are not sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. You see, when we start falling short in the place of intimacy and communion with the Holy Spirit, we are proclaiming to ourselves that we are sufficient by ourselves. That we've got the strength to carry on or carry out the purposes and the plans of God for our lives by ourselves. But the reason why we keep running to God, it's because we have grown into the revelation that our sufficiency is not in ourselves. Our sufficiency is in Christ. When we begin to tap into that reality, you begin to understand how you are weak as a man. You're not smart enough. That the reason why they call him the spirit of wisdom and revelation, it's also written in the book of Isaiah. When Isaiah has this vision, he sees the Holy Spirit and defines him as the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It is because that there is a way in which the Holy Spirit begins to teach you how to go about life in God, and your sufficiency is no longer of yourself. The reason why I'm standing here and preaching to you the word of God, I don't actually sit down and say, can I think of something deep to share? I have actually never sat and say, you know what? Like, can I just think of something that would just take it home? I don't even have capacity to do that. I have learned that God has called me to be a preacher and to dispense His words to His church, because He's the one who called me to this hope. It is my responsibility to keep going back to Him so He can teach me. I've been praying and say, God, you have done so many amazing things with Shofar Boston. What are you saying to us now? Then God will say, okay, in the place of prayer, you start writing down in your prayer journal. This is what you're going to speak about. Go in scripture. Look there and look that. Look at how I've worked with that person. This is where I want you to be. And then we are able to come back here and preach. And then you know what I do? When I leave this place, I go and inquire some more. Because it is good to have spiritual intel. I get to spy on people spiritually. In the place of prayer, I guess I'm eavesdropping on some of your lives. I'm like, God, what is going on in that one's life? Like, I want to know. Then the Holy Spirit of wisdom and revelation will begin to tell you. Can I tell you how you deal with that nasty co-worker? Can I tell you how you deal with that messy lecturer? Can I tell you how you deal with that hating, you know, Mr. the person who's not treating you well in your work environment? Stop trying to plead your case with them. Go into that place of prayer, and the spirit of wisdom and revelation in God will bring out something, and suddenly, like Apostle Paul says, your eyes are enlightened. You're like, ah, this is, at least she agrees with me. Another example, I like teaching through testimonies and examples, because everything I teach here, it's not anything I've not practiced myself. I think 2 weeks ago, Bradley and I had a meeting, and the Lord had shared something with me, you know, just like regarding ministry, about like, you know, the way to go and what to do. And I was like, God was just like, this is where we need to go, bro. We need to do this thing. So I came, I had a meeting with Bradley. I was like, okay, listen, Bradley, this is what God is saying. I feel like we need to move in this direction. I'm not quite sure, but what is God telling you? And he's like, yeah, the Lord told me the same thing last week. You know, the Lord told me the same thing last week, and I shared with Carolyn, let's just pray into that and see how the Lord leads us into doing. You see, when you begin to walk a life that is consumed with communion and intimacy, it's almost like nothing takes you by surprise. The Lord has a way of letting his beloved before time, that this is what is happening, begin to prepare accordingly. The reason why we do intimacy is because our sufficiency is not in ourselves. Our sufficiency is in God. How to step in the dimension of a life consumed by communion? Well, the answer is, we have to also begin practicing sacrificial worship. Look at your neighbor sitting next to you. Just look at them and say, sacrificial worship. Sacrificial worship. Thank you. Let's quickly open our scriptures. Romans 12, verse 1, a verse that many of us have come to know. Apostle Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. To present what? Your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind in that place of sacrificial worship, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Let me just go straight to it and say, there are things that God want to reveal to some of you about your lives, about your future, so that you can grow into the knowledge of who he is. But God is looking for a dimension of worship that is sacrificial. What am I meaning by that? There are some of you, no matter how inconvenient it is, you have to learn to embrace a life of fasting and prayer so that you can kill the flesh and God can arise in you and begin to teach you so that you can discern what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Do not fall for the lie that says, but these things of fasting and praying long hours, it's legalism. Because that's what the devil wants you to believe, that it's legalism. It is not. Any relationship is based on the basis of intentional pursuit. Any relationship that grows from a place of intentional and sacrificial pursuit. You see, we don't wake up in the middle of the night to pray because we don't want to catch sleep. We do actually want to sleep. We also want to sleep for 8 hours a day. We don't wake up at 4 a.m. and 2 a.m. in the morning to be in the presence of God because somehow we want to punish the flesh. We don't. But there are things that God will only reveal when he sees the posture of your heart ready to pursue him at all costs. There is a way in which God can only begin to speak to you when you are willing to put the flesh to death. When you are willing to inconvenience yourself, because it's only when we learn to inconvenience our flesh that we begin to make room for God. He says, offer your bodies. He's speaking about this flesh. He's speaking about this flesh, your body, as a living sacrifice. Apostle Paul speaks about how we need to partake in the crucifixion of Christ so that we may rise into his resurrection. You know what that means? Is that, of course, we're not going to hang ourselves on the cross again, but there is a way in which in our pursuit with Christ at some point, we got to cause pain to this flesh so that we can rise in the full power of wisdom and revelation by the Holy Spirit. We have grown too complacent. Christianity has become way too convenient. But you see, if God is going to use some of you here in the room to become his battle axes, if God is going to use some of you in the room to really advance his purposes in whatever environment he has placed you, then we really have to be intentional in offering worship that is sacrificial. Because outside of that dimension of worship, there is still a lot that we will lack and we will continually be superficial. Psalm 42 verse 7, it says, deep calls on to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. He says, calls deep unto deep. Some deeper revelations and understanding about who God is only come as a response of us learning to be intentionally in his presence, deeper in the place of prayer, fasting, you know. And I know sometimes it's difficult, but you train your spirit to start loving the things of God. So that means you actually want to be able to sleep, but you say, you know what, God, from 2 a.m. to 3 a.m. for this month, I'm going to open my Bible and spend time with you. And it doesn't, I'm landing with my sermon now. It doesn't have to cost to always be intense. It doesn't always have to be difficult. It doesn't always have to be complicated. You don't have to pray from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the afternoon. You don't have. God just wants you to start with what you're able to bear and be disciplined into that. The rest of the work is on him. It's not on you. God just wants you to. What I usually do is that I begin to define for myself spiritual goals for the week. Say, Lord, this week, I'm going to pray for 30 minutes every morning. And just stick to that. We're going to deal with next week as it comes. And the thing is, the Holy Spirit is so, he loves so much partnering with us in the place of intimacy that all he needs you to do is to start. When you begin to be diligent with your 15 minutes every day, you start growing into a place where your spirit starts being shaped like a potter shapes a pot. He starts shaping you. Suddenly, you never enjoyed so much the place of prayer. But when you are there, you're like, oh, this is good. I want to be here a little bit longer. And then next week, what started at 30 minutes, moves on to 45 minutes. So now you used to wake up at 5. The other 3 weeks later, you decide, I'm going to wake up at 3 a.m. Why? Because you train your spirits to love the things of God. And the more you keep partnering with God in that way, the Holy Spirit also begins to bring you to that place of wisdom and revelation. There is a divine wisdom and revelation that God will only impart to you when you learn how to give sacrificial worship. Yeah, sometimes, yeah, you know, the thing is, I want to finish with this. The thing is, this life will always give you a reason not to pursue God. At some point, it was your studies. And then at a later point in stage, you got married. Then it became the marriage. And then at a later stage, you got kids. It became the kids. Then at a later stage, you started a business. It became the business. Then at a later stage, you just got overwhelmed by all of these. And some of you see, the reason why some of us don't pursue God the way we should, it's actually for legitimate reasons. Like for real legitimate reasons. But God, I start work, I leave my house at 5 and I'm back at 7 p.m. and then I have to cook and clean my house. I want to share with this testimony. I made a deal with God last year. I told God, I said, hey, Yara, listen here. I said, there are deeper places you're calling me to, but I want to make a deal with you. I'm going to be awake every day from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. But you arrange yourselves with your people in heaven that you give me 8 hours of sleep in 5. I said, I don't know how you are going to do it. You just give me 8 hours of rest in 5. And I will be awake every day at 3 a.m. and seek your face. I kid you not, I went to bed every day at 10 p.m. Woke up at 3. We prayed. At the beginning, guys, it was a nightmare. Because sometimes I'll just get up on my hour of worship and just sleep. I'm like, God, you know I'm here. You know, at least I slept in your presence. Some days be like, okay, you will pray for 1 hour, and then the rest of the 2 hours, you're just looking at the ceiling and touching the wardrobe and looking at stuff. But let me tell you, the way God partners with us in the place of prayer is that you start with a prayer point, but when you move on, you reach the point of prayer, which is really where the Holy Spirit engages with you as the spirit of intercession. So you came to pray for 5 things, and then after 1 hour of praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit catches you. He's like, now, let us go. Because they call him, he helps us in our weaknesses. That's why they call him the spirit of intercession. The help that Apostle Paul is speaking about, it is a help that needs to be relational. The Holy Spirit can only pray through you if you are willing to pray through him. There is a work in prayer that you can't do without him. There is a work in prayer that he can't do without you. But when you reach that place of prayer in the Spirit, then he takes over. So suddenly, 3 hours was not enough anymore. I'm like, in Zulu they say, kum nandi kwa Jesu. It's really good there by Jesus. So I'm like, okay, so now you're going to give me 8 hours of sleep in 3, because I have to pray. So I would wake up at midnight. From midnight to 6 a.m., we are praying. And then in the morning, I would still go to work, and I never felt burnt out or tired, because God is faithful when we are intentional in pursuing him and offering him sacrificial worship. In fact, when I would sleep at night, when I would stay awake the whole night watching movies, I would go to work and feeling so sleepy all the time. But then when I spent it in prayer, I literally become a stream of living water in my work environment. Because why? I'm not tired. It's called the spirit of life. Then his life begins to flow through you. You want to get to know God. Begin to pursue a life of communion with the Holy Spirit by the means of sacrificial worship. What we do here is great, but it means so much more when it is an overflow of worship that costs us something in the secret place. Some of you, your worship will have to start costing you your sleep. There are some of you in the room, God has been stirring in your heart to fast, but you haven't done it. It's not because God wants to punish you. It's because there are deeper places to which he's calling you. Some of you need to start giving up Netflix. Some of you need to start after work. You need to go back home straight. Don't stop anyway. Go home. Do business with your wife and kids and then send them to sleep. Begin to pray. And as we begin to be disciplined in that, I promise you there's going to come a day we walk into this church with an agenda to start the service at 9 and finish at 11. But we can't contain it, because God is just so real. And he can tap into the sacrificial worship of each and everyone in the room and release the weight of his glory upon each one of us. So next week, I'm going to finish with this series. We're going to speak about what are the things that the Holy Spirit, the flesh, and the world initiate into our lives to stop us from entering into that divine consciousness and knowing God. You want to find out more? Come back next week. Can we stand? Let's quickly stand. Yes, sir. Oh, yes. Oh, I understand what you mean. No, Adan was saying that in the beginning, I said living a life consumed of with communion with the Holy Spirit. Is that what you meant? Because we need to be participant of what the Holy Spirit is doing. Devonisha, do you want to come and doing the thing? Bradley, please help that sound. If it's by, you are not a willing participant. But if it's with, you are a willing participant. Whew. Thank you so much for unmuting. We are going to pray. We're going to spend a moment of prayer. Is the piano pianoing? It's already on. Just need to unmute it. Give me that A. It's fine. She doesn't need to sing. She's just, the atmosphere always sets in when the piano is playing. Did God speak to someone's heart this morning? Did God really, why is my microphone so low? Did God really minister to your heart this morning? Thank you, Marius. We just want you to close your eyes where you are. Out of everything that I said, I want you to think on your mind, what are the action steps that the Holy Spirit is convincing you to take as you move into the week? Because we can pray for one another here, and you go on and living your life as if nothing happened. But beyond what I said, what is it in your heart that you know you need to do to start stepping into that reality? Please give me as the deer again. As the deer. As the deer. We're going to sing that song one more time. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart desire, and I one more time, see, as the deer,
as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Salimandore brashoka, you alone, oh, desire and I long to worship you. Send you alone, and you are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. Oh, you alone are my heart desire, and I long to worship you.
Say, you're my friend.
You're my
sing, you alone, you desire,
and I long to as the Venetia keeps playing, I just want you to start raising in prayer. And the prayer that I want you to make is, Lord, draw me closer. Say, Lord, draw me closer. Say, Lord, draw me closer. In my own strength, I got no capacity to pursue you the way you want me to pursue you. But say, God, by your spirit, I know I can. Say, Lord, by your spirit, I know I am able. So I really want you right now to tap into the spirit of strength and the spirit of help, so that he can become the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Come on, just rise with me in this moment in the place of prayer. Say, God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I need you. Lord, we are so thirsty for more of you, God. We are so hungry for more of you, God. You are calling us to be a child. Ribalia pre secanda riba evrake yebra sicando le maneje pravalika yebra mano. Lord, we need you. Lord, we cannot by ourselves. We want to live with you. We want to walk with you. We want to be empowered by you. We want to live a life, Almighty God, consumed by communion with the Holy Spirit. Lord, we need you, God. Come and help my brother. Come and help my sister in my own weaknesses, oh God, and show us where you want us to start. Is it praying in the morning? Is it fasting half a day? Is it letting go of entertainment? Is it cutting out certain friends, oh God? Lord, we need your help, oh God. Our help can only come from you. 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 Our help can only come from you, God. Lord, that you will show us the way by your spirit. 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 Show us the way by your spirit, oh God. We need you, oh Father. We need you, oh Father. We need you, oh Father. What I want you to do in this moment is, you are not oblivious to what hinders you from pressing further into your relationship with God. So I just really want to invite you for the next 1 or 2 minutes. Whatever weaknesses that sometimes can't get in the way of you knowing God, I want you to lay down at the cross. He says, come to you, come to me, all of you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Maybe it's a little bit too much entertainment. Some of you in the room, maybe it's just food. Some of you in the room, maybe it's just an addiction that's holding you back from pressing further and say, God, I laid all down at the cross, but really lay it down and don't live with it. To worship you. See you, Lord, oh God, you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire and I long.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that we are here because of you, God. We are here to meet with you. Thank you that our worship is not about us, Lord, but it's about meeting with you today. I want to echo what Sam said this morning. If there's a hindrance in your heart and in your spirit that's hindering you from pressing into the Lord, more and more intimacy with the Holy Spirit this morning, we would love to pray with you. Please don't walk out of here. We would love to pray with you. Please either come to myself or anyone. Just grab someone and say, can you just pray with me this morning? For the word of God says, those who the Son set free are free indeed. And the word of God also says, let those who have ears, let them hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And as the Spirit of God is ministering to us and each one of us right now, may we be attentive to the voice of God. The Holy Spirit is not only for the pastor, not only for the elders in the church, not only for the leaders in the church, but it's for every single person. The Word of God says in Ephesians that Paul says to the church of Ephesus, he says, equip the saints for the work of the ministry. The saints is all of us. It's not only those that are standing in front here. We all have something to give and something to share. And as we go out into this world this week, may your light shine. And may the people see it around you, and may they glorify not you, but the Father in heaven who gives you the light and the Holy Spirit that shines through you. I'm going to wrap up this service now fast. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. And the Lord may be gracious to you. Therefore, go in peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pour someone a coffee. We are going to have some coffee. Some time of fellowship. Please don't rush off. If God ministered to you, if the Holy Spirit spoke to you, please don't leave with that word in your heart. Okay. God bless.